We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to episode 415 of the Barcelona Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Ian Hilton, and I'd like to welcome back a guest for the OGs. It's been a while, but Luis Mazarigos, writer for Barcelona Blaugranas and giver of good takes, has returned. Luis, welcome back.
Hey, nice to see you. How are you doing?
We're doing okay. I think you and I just finished watching Croatia against Japan in the World Cup. So with that said, that was the first PKs we had to slog through. So, I mean, I'd say so far the knockouts have been exciting. But yeah, getting to PKs, I don't know. I don't know what you change, but it is the way it is. But how are you feeling about the action at the World Cup so far?
I think it's been really good. Sometimes you'll have a really good group stage. I think it was 2014 or 2018, one of the last World Cups. You had like a really exciting group stage. Everyone was saying this is the best World Cup ever. Then you get to the knockouts. Everyone's afraid to get knocked out. And you get like 0-0, 1-0, whatever. Everyone's a lot more cagey. So that hasn't happened. Kind of the excitement of the group stage has kept going into the knockouts. I guess this one wasn't maybe a little bit less exciting after the equalizer, but overall, I think it's been pretty exciting, so I hope it continues.
Yeah, memory serves, 06 and 2010, by and large, were both pretty good knockouts, but pretty boring. Not boring, but the group stage had some teams in it that did not intend to play in that group stage, and we had to get through that. But today, Luis, I'm someone who, again, looks at my numbers, looks at the stats, and when people said before this World Cup, who listened to my podcast, that we care about the Barca stuff, we don't really care about the international stuff, I was kind of listening, I tried my best to listen, but they were being honest. So today, we're talking FC Barcelona stuff, but as I promised as well, we're going to go back in the history books. Nothing really pressing to talk about the club at the moment. I mean, the fact that Frank Kessier and his... But the fact that he's going to stay at the club, yet that kind of stuff is in this limbo for the last few days, and that keeps being the story over and over, it tells you how little is happening. That the hypothetical transfer of Barcelona's fourth midfielder, or fifth midfielder, well, yeah, fifth midfielder, is a discussion point. So today, because of an article you wrote for Barcelona Blaugranas, we are going to have an interesting discussion here. So we're putting the World Cup in the rearview mirror for now, and maybe worrying about it later in the week, but today we are answering the hypothetical question that, again, you wrote about for Barcelona Blaugranas, and I'll link that article down below. We start with the disclaimer, though, that no, numbers cannot be retired in football. So this is all hypothetical. Again, this is a hypothetical fun experiment we're having. But it does happen sometimes, like Diego Maradona with Napoli. The other disclaimer is usually that the player is retired when you retire their number. But since Barca's best era has happened with players that are still active, that may confuse people and complicate things. Like, I don't need a million messages about, hey, why didn't you retire Messi jersey, or why didn't you retire Busquets' jersey? Well, obviously, you know, they're still active, but we're going to do active players too. So the last stage setting thing to go over, this whole conversation was also inspired by Diario Sport poll, where you picked from players at each position. And I thought it was pretty stupid to do one player for a goalkeeper and one forward, which is absolutely insane nonsense to me. Impossible to do that at FC Barcelona after 123 years. So instead, Luis, we're going to upset people and we're going to retire whoever is necessary. The Boston Celtics, for precedent, have the most retired numbers of any professional team in any sport with 24, with the New York Yankees coming in second with 22. And because in Europe, in Asia, and Africa, retiring jerseys is not really something that normally happens in South America. So it's kind of a US thing. So as you kind of mentioned before we began this, that we're making more of a Hall of Fame to add to the museum more than we are actually, you know, retiring numbers or jerseys or whatever. So again, because Barca as a club has been around 123 years, I think 24, 22, my number's even higher than that. If you want to follow along at home and take your little pencil and notepad out, I have 32, and I want to say legends here of the club, 32 names I have on the list. And Luis, you and I are going to work through that, yes or no to those, as well as trying to see some of the ones I left off. All right. Now, final things we jump in. Actually, it's almost a lie to say FC Barcelona have not retired any numbers, because they have. They have retired handball jerseys already, and outside of the men's first team, the basketball, the baloncesto, has already retired Juan Carlos Navarro's number 11 back in 2019, as well as Andreas Jimenez, Nacho Salasbal, Roberto Dueñas, and Juan Antonio San Epifanio. So there is precedence already at FC Barcelona to retire numbers, but again, it's much more prevalent in basketball. And before we do the men's first team, we're almost there, Luis. I also want to mention the Femenil, because when we talk about active players, this is really, the Femenil is really where you ask that question. So are there any active players for you that are already prepared for the Femenil to be retired? Again, the names here, I think Alexi Putellas, Marta Torrejón, Aitana Bonmati, Patri, Sandra Paños, Mariona, and Mapi Leon. Those are, I think, the main names that we're discussing when we begin that active players list.
Yeah, I mean, straight away, Putellas, like, obviously, when you're talking about a team that basically won everything in Europe, won individual awards, I think they were 1, 2, and 3 for the female Ballon d'Or, so it's going to be hard to top that, so yeah, I think you straight in, you have this, I mean, for sure, some of the players from this current team that has been so successful, especially like the star players, you have to agree to those. Oh, and I was going to say, like as an aside, that retiring numbers in Italy, in Serie A, is pretty relatively common because they have much more relaxed shirt number rules. So in La Liga, you can't leave a number open between, I think it's 1 and 22 or 24 or whatever. You can't leave like number 10 open, but you can do that in Serie A. And if you watch an Italian league game, there'll be people wearing like 74 and 38 and random numbers like that. And so it's much more feasible to retire a number. Like I know Inter retired Javier Zanetti's number and, you know, different ones. Like obviously Maradona, Napoli retired number 10, but yeah. So that's on another topic, but I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, there is precedent in the sport of football as well.
Yeah.
As you said, I had on my list here, I had Alexia and Marta Torrejón. Were yes already, because of how long she's been in the club. Aitana, Patri, Paños, Mariona, and Mapi Leon, I think need like a season or two more, need a little more time, and maybe a few more trophies this season would help. And then Caroline Graham Hansen and Asuala need at least another like 2 seasons for me, and a few more just being at the club a little bit longer. They haven't really been there that long. But as far as going back in the Femenil history, I don't want to forget the players that have helped build what exists now either. So Sonia Hermedez, who was a 4-time leading scorer and won the league all 4 years that she was there. That happened, that she was leading scorer, rather. So I would retire her number or her name. And then goalkeeper Laura Raffles, and I'd say Olga Garcia as well, too, based on her goal scoring record of 53 goals, 87 appearances. Again, the numbers and the records for the Femenil, which is insane because it's like the mid-2010s, isn't even what it should have been. But after them, Jenny Hermoso, Vicky Lozada, and Melanie Serrano are all absolute yeses for me, too, those three. And the one I don't know about, though, Luis, I'm not really sure about Lecky Martins. So she's already gone. 54 goals in 110 appearances in 5 seasons. And that number is even lower for Barbara Latorre, who I'm leaning a little bit no on. But for Martins, it's tough because she was not even an important part of the best era that they've had. But, you know, again, based on the numerical precedent, 54 goals, 110 is enough, but I'm not sure if the role she played for the club, you know what I mean? Like having been there, having watched it, I don't know if that would be someone I would go with. But 5 seasons in the Femenil game is kind of a lifetime.
It's also one of those things where I think like the reputation of the player in general versus the reputation of them specifically for a specific club.
Yep.
Like, I mean, the most obvious case of that is Maradona, who played just a couple of years in Barcelona, but is obviously known as one of the best ever. So it can be kind of hard to judge kind of like a player apart from their reputation and only looking at what they contributed, whether you should do that or whether you should consider the fact that they were, you know, star for the national team, star at other clubs, that kind of thing. And I think the other tricky part is there's just less history of the women's team. So it's hard to put these things into context. You know, when you have a 100 years plus of history, you can say, okay, this person, you know, scored X many goals, but 50 other people did so as well. We don't really know, like, what the future holds. Like, if in 30 years, we'll still be thinking about her as, okay, this is someone who really still stands out as a true kind of legend of the club, or if there's, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other people who have done that and more. So, like, you kind of go down the pecking order a little bit. So it's just a little bit hard to judge right now when there's less history, you know?
Well, that's unfortunate. I have no one for you from the 70s, 80s, 90s, or even the early aughts, because the results weren't there. They just weren't as good. I mean, as was the case basically until 2008. And then again, the Femini wasn't professionalized until 2015. So records weren't even kept right. So the last name I give you is Ima Cabeceran, who should be retired because she was the 18-year-old in 1970 who met with Barca president Auguste Montal Costa at the time to get a women's team started. So she is very much the Juan Gamper of the women's side. She put out an ad, oddly enough, just like Gamper did, to get women from 18 to 25 to come for the first exhibition game. And I'd also retire the entire 17-person team from 1970 that played in that Christmas Day friendly in 1970 in front of 60,000 people, again, setting all that precedent. And then the real shame is that between that time and 2002, I don't have any names to even provide you because, again, records weren't kept well, and the team, it was hit or miss at times. They weren't even incorporated in the club for basically the entire run.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're going to transition to the men's team now, and we already talked about the criteria a bit, but, you know, very much like Martin's, I mean, we did kind of set the precedent here. We're going to go over Brazilian Ronaldo, Maradona, so hold your horses on that. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to those players. But I was trying to think here as far as what the criteria would be. Is it a set number of appearances? Like, does a minimum, like 100? Like, what's the number here? And I think the criteria also changes the older back in time we go.
Yeah.
Because guys in the 20s only had two competitions to play in instead of six over the last 25 years. So that does certainly change things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can say to one specific number because the context definitely matters. And you know, the trophies that you are expected to win kind of change with time. And, you know, it's not really fair to compare across so many different decades. You kind of have to look at it on a case-by-case basis. So,
yeah, well, I think the safe place to start is at least with appearances, though, because appearances does tell you that the contribution they give to the club, they A, earned their time on the field.
I mean,
depending on the era. So we'll start with the modern era, though. 8 of the top 10 appearance leaders for FC Barca have played for the club in the last 10 years. So it does make it pretty easy here. As I said, I had 32 total players. Again, 8 of those in the top 10 appearance leaders for FC Barcelona are recent names. So that's Messi, Xavi, Busquets, Iniesta, Pique, Puyol, Victor Valdez, Jordi Alba. And I know people are mad at Alba right now, but he's top 10 in appearances.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of winning. I'm not arguing with him. The other modern era players to throw at you here, I have 3. Danny Alves, Neymar, and Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
Are you yeses or noes on all three of those?
Wow. Okay.
Then, so we're starting hot. We're starting heavy.
Because, I mean, the first eight you named are, I think, automatic yes. I mean, it's even, like you said, sometimes in the moment we can say that they're going through a rough patch or whatever. But I think when you look back 10 years from now, how are you going to look at it? People won't really remember necessarily the bad times. They'll think of the good times only, and it's going to be hard to say no to any of those first ones. Pero, okay, so he was such an essential part of such a good team, and he made so many appearances, scored so many goals. Like he was the first player to score in six different competitions one year, for example. It feels so cruel to say no to him, but there is definitely a kind of like a second tier that I think you could put him in. I guess it depends on how, what do you call it? Where you draw that line, because you could be a little bit more inclusive and say yes to everyone, or you could say, okay, we'll stick a couple that are kind of maybes and just stick them into no. Neymar is like another one where like he was a very essential part of a treble winning squad. He was there for quite a few seasons, scored so many goals. Kevin Acrimony's exit, an Acrimony's exit. And I think that if you talk to people, this is kind of the like X factor, is just kind of the feeling you get.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to people about Pedro and you talk to people about Neymar, you get two different feelings. And one is a lot more warm than the other because of how it ended. I think a lot of people, even like I was saying, even if you go 10 years in the future, I think people will still question how Ney left the team,
yeah,
why he left the team.
Well, there are other players that applies to too that are on our list.
That's kind of an X factor. And I'm sorry, who was the other person you mentioned?
Well, Danny Alves, but that's a yes. Like we don't even need to. We don't have. To
yeah, no, okay, Danny Alves. I think it's a yes. I mean, you're talking about, in my opinion, one of, if not definitely, the best right back ever. And
yeah,
he obviously had contributions at all kinds of other teams, Sevilla, Juventus, Brazilian national team, so on and so forth. But if you think about what is the team that he's most identified with, it's Barcelona. And the fact that he came back nearing 40 on a free, almost free contract to try to help the team, I think that's showed a lot about his character, even though he had, he had a split with the club originally. I know his beef was with a different president, but still, he had split with the club originally, kind of on bad terms. The fact that he came back and sacrificed so much, I think, yeah, it's a definite yes. And I feel cruel saying no to Pedro, but like, I kind of feel like maybe that's kind of a line you could draw, mm-hmm, to say this is how close you could get, but still not be in it. And as far as Neymar, I think that you have to, when he's retired, I think he'll be known primarily as somebody who was a big reference point for Brazil for a long time. And then at club level, he kind of bounced around a couple teams and built a good reputation at different teams, but he won't be necessarily identified with one specifically. Or if he is, he might just be identified with PSG. He won't be thought of as primarily a Barcelona player. So I would also say...
I think that definitely went into my thinking. Oddly, that when you look at the stats here, Neymar had 68 goals in 123 appearances over the course of 4 years. Pedro was only there for 7 years, and he had over 200 appearances, 58 goals. So 10 goals even less than Neymar when you're talking about production. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an odd thing that Pedro, regardless of how many appearances he made for Chelsea, was less than 140. Roma, Lazio... He will be always be remembered as a Barcelona player.
Yeah.
Again, he was only there for 7 years, which is interesting. He was only there more than double the time of Neymar. But yeah, I mean, Neymar, he's already been at PSG longer than he was at Barcelona. So yeah. I went yes on Neymar and no, I mean, sorry, yes on Pedro and no on Neymar. But I think you bring up a good argument that Pedro, and as we continue to go through this, Pedro kind of was where I drew one of the lines. I mean, he was like number 31 or 32. So mm-hmm. if we're going to say no there, I think that's totally fair as we try to get our list down to 30. So I basically have one more cut to make. we've done the hard work here. So rounding out the top 10 in appearances, and it's going to get easier now here because there's, again, precedent historically, and not say I'm not willing to hear arguments, but so rounding out the top 10 in appearance getters is Megele, who played from 73 to 89, made just shy of 550 appearances in some of the rougher teams in the club's history. So people don't really know that name or remember his time there. And then Carlos Reixac, who from 65 to 81 also played in a bunch of rough teams. But based on appearances alone, based on contribution to the club alone, I was an easy yes on those two.
Yeah.
Now for the top goal scorers. And this is another thing. Where do we draw the line at that number, right? The top 10 are Messi, which is obviously no. And then Cesar Rodriguez with 232. That's got to be a yes, second all time. Yeah. Uruguayan Luis Suarez with 198. Yes. Lazo Kubala at 194. Yes. First real like trophy winner at the club, like guy that really like was the talisman to help them capture trophies. Josep Samitier with 184. Definitely a yes. One of the most important goal scorers in the early history of the club. Josep Escola, who people remember me talking about before, in 15 years at the club, also played during really the dark era of the 30s and the 40s when the Spanish War, Civil War was going on, as well as the Second World War. 167, though, in that time, he scored over 15 years again. Definitely, if politics in the world hadn't actually, I mean, we'll talk about politics today, but if world wars and things hadn't happened, Escola would have had more. And then Paulinho Alcantara with 143 in 395 appearances. Second on the list, by the way, in appearances is Alcantara. So absolutely yes for me. The first superstar the club had that wasn't named Gamper. Then Samuel Eto'o and Rivaldo on 130, both in five seasons. That one's interesting too. As we talked about Neymar's four seasons, five seasons from both Eto'o and Rivaldo. And then Marino Martin with 128 in eight seasons. So the question there, and I think we begin to talk about Eto'o and Rivaldo and Martin, where do you draw the line there as far as top goal scorers?
One thing I would say about the kind of the key difference between like Neymar and Rivaldo is like Rivaldo was, I think he was like the main star for Barcelona for at least a few seasons.
He won the Ballon d'Or. Yeah.
Right. So Neymar, he was always second or third in the pecking order. So I think that does make a difference in terms of like how you identify a player with a team. Because I think when people in the 90s thought of Barcelona, they thought of Rivaldo. And that was the first name that came to mind for many, many people, depending on the year, but for several years. And that's just not the case with Neymar because Messi was Messi and Luis Suarez was still on the team. Xavi, Iniesta, all these other players. So I think it's one of those things that's kind of like hard to quantify, but I think that definitely plays a role. It's like, who was your reference point at that time? And Eto'o, I think I also like strongly identified with Barcelona. It was like another thing that I was saying that it's intangible, but when you think of Eto'o, you think of Barcelona. He did play for other teams, obviously. And I guess another portion of this is their contributions to winning major trophies.
Yeah.
Which actually is, I think it's also an argument for Neymar. That's actually a point in favor of him because he did contribute to, like, he did score a goal in the Champions League final. But Eto'o, like, you know, he scored such iconic goals for Barcelona and he was such a reference point as well. I don't know. I would like to hear what you have to say about this.
Yeah, it was a yes on Eto'o. It was a yes on Rivaldo. And I did draw the line at Mariano Martin because as people know, I go nerd out in history books, but he did play in, again, the dark era of the 40s. And unfortunately, winning, even if it wasn't really up to Barcelona at the time, winning does matter at some point when we are rewarding these players. So I do draw the line at Martin at that basically 129 goals, I guess, is my threshold. And then, because then when we talk about winning, right, now we bring up the dream team. And how do we reward the dream team? Yeah. Ronald Koeman is an absolute yes. Again, we're not talking about him as a manager. We're talking about him as a, he's not going in as a manager. He's going in as a player. And then, you know, I was going through the list and it's tough because we have to leave off some portion of, and I've left off more than half, I will tell you of this. Well, no, actually I left off exactly half of this. There's Stoichkov, there's Romario, there's Laudrup, there's Pep Guardiola, the player, there's Guillermo Amor, there's Jose Maria Baquero, there's Sergi Barzwan, and there's Zubizarreta in goal. I mean, I'll give you who I had. I had Koeman, yes. I had Stoichkov, yes.
Yeah.
I had Romario, no, because again, longevity and even the way he left the club. I had Guardiola, yes. I had Amor and Baquero. I had to say no. There's just too many other good players. Right. I had Sergi Bartuan as a no, and I had Zubizarreta, believe it or not. I also had him as a no because we'll get to another goalkeeper that had as a yes. I only had two goalkeepers as yeses.
Okay. This,
but I had to say no on Zubizarreta as well, even though he made all those appearances. The tough one, I left somebody off that list, and now I keep giving you the tough ones, by the way. So the next tough one I have is Laudrup. I really don't know. It was 166 appearances,
yeah.
But all that success, and again, the Bosman ruling, I mean, he, Romario, Stoichkov, they would have played and contributed even more if, I mean, Kuban was going to be the guy always selected from that foursome, but mm-hmm. three of the four were allowed to play. And Laudrup, there were times in that last season before he left for Real Madrid mm-hmm. where he was the guy who was left out. And maybe he shouldn't have been, but that was a choice that Johan Cruyff was making at the time. I mean, again, Laudrup, he's really, really tough. Is it a yes or no for you?
Yeah, I'm not so sure. He was obviously a great player, and he's I think the only player who has successfully moved from Barcelona to Real Madrid without being known as a kind of a traitor or being super hated by the fans. You know what I mean? I think every other player who has made that move has had. I mean, we're not talking about Figo, for example. I don't think.
We'll get to him.
Okay. All right. Well,
the only other example, actually, historically, is Josep Samitier. But again, mm-hmm. that I remind people that is a time when you talk about Real Madrid, this yeah. Champions League era and this pre-Champions League era. So right. Real Madrid is just like everybody else. I mean, before that time, it was, and then same with Espanyol. Like these are other places the players could play and make a living, so they did. So we're talking Real Madrid, yeah, post 1960.
Right. So, I mean, there's been other players who have made the move from Barcelona to Real Madrid, like Saviola, but it wasn't direct. And it wasn't, you know, it was just not a big controversy. Laudrup, I think everyone just loved him so much that even that didn't completely sour people on him.
I mean, Luis Enrique kind of actually in that list too.
Oh, but it's the other way around. He went from Madrid to Barcelona. Yeah. That's a different, whole different thing from, you know, from one point of view. So yeah, it's so tough because it's hard to kind of pull all these things together. I think that if you make a list, he'd be one of the names where, and you didn't include him, he'd be one of the names where people said, would say, why didn't you include him? But like, I think you have to kind of be cruel with some of these, because otherwise, I mean, otherwise we could just say yes, yes, yes to everybody. Mm-hmm. Would be the easiest thing. And obviously there's no fun in that. you got to be a little bit controversial. So I think I'm kind of leaning towards a no. I don't know what you think.
The reason I said yes, and this actually, you brought this about the Neymar thing. He was, I think, for large stretches, the best player on that team.
Yeah.
And I think that is the difference for me. That's why I said no to Amor, Baquero, Sergi, Zubizarreta, mm-hmm. a lot of the players that helped build that. I also said no to Romario, which, again, will upset people. But his contribution to the club, again, that's I say no to Romario instead of Laudrup. And I think that's the one where fans of the 90s, you can have the disagreement there and the argument there. So we haven't yet spoken about Spanish Luis Suarez, who won the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
Ronaldinho and Johan Cruyff. Yeah. All players won the Ballon d'Or war at Barca.
Yeah.
Easy guesses there. As did Rivaldo and Stoichkov, by the way. We also wound up, in hindsight, also said yes to those.
Yeah.
So the next two, I mean, kind of in the same realm. Brazilian Ronaldo is there for one season. And on my list of top 75 players, yeah. I even had his contributions to Barcelona 12th on that list as far as best players and their mm-hmm. contributions, taking it all into account. I had him 12th on that list because of just how good he was yeah. in that one season. But that season is not, this is a different argument, right? I'm not yeah. saying like, best in that moment.
Yeah.
And Luis Figo, unfortunately, people yelled at me for putting him so high on the all-time list, but I had him 30th overall, right behind Diego Maradona. There were some arguments about that.
Yeah.
But for Luis Figo, it's a no way. And Ronaldo, it's a no for longevity. And for Luis Figo, it's obviously an absolutely not the way he left the club. It doesn't even matter yeah. what he did at the club. Not, I mean, even judging other contributions, still didn't do enough. I think Amor, Baquero, Romario, all those guys go in for mm-hmm. Figo.
Yeah, of course. It's just, I think you can put a little bit more of a sentimental or kind of emotional requirements to something like a Hall of Fame than, I guess, when you're judging like who had the best like one single season or something, you can be pretty objective about what the contribution was. But if you're talking about a Hall of Fame type situation, there does have to be like a connection. I think you make a good point about Laudrup, for example. And like Romario, obviously, this is one of those players that's like, clearly he's a legend of the game. who spent some time at Barcelona, but not necessarily one of Barcelona's like all-time legends. Mm-hmm. Speaking so just purely about the club itself, it's just kind of weird because sometimes you can have a player who was so good and maybe even better than some of the players that we were including, but it's just
so Maradona.
Yeah.
I didn't offer him to you because I don't know how you put him in. He didn't play long enough for the club, and the club also didn't really do that much winning with him.
Yeah, I think that's one of those that's I think the most similar example I can think of in all of sports, the fact that the Miami Heat retired Michael Jordan's number despite that he never played for them.
Yeah.
And it was just this guy is such a big legend that we're going to kind of tip our hats to him, even though he's not a legend for us. Obviously, in the Miami Heat case, not at all, because he never played for them and he just eliminated them so many times. I think that's the only argument you can make for Maradona is, of course, he's not a club legend because of his contributions to the club. It's just he's such a legend that we're not going to, we're going to include him because we're kind of tipping our hat to him as a player in general. But I don't think, that's if we're talking about purely about what you contributed to the club, it's just not, there's no real argument for it.
Yeah, I mean, someday when Messi is on the board, he can definitely fight for that one. And then we'll give in a little bit. So, okay. So then getting to the names that most people won't have heard of, the only players, because again, I had tough, most of the players that we've named are from, I mean, even Cruyff, believe it or not, didn't do as much winning as you'd expect, mm-hmm. but we all admit, Culés all admit, even as a player, he changed the direction of the club. By winning that La Liga 1974, everything kind of changed. And then obviously his greatest contribution are him as a manager. But even as a player, I mean, he again won the Ballon d'Or at the club, started mm-hmm. to do some winning again. It could have been better, but a lot of factors went in. As far as prior to even Cruyff, most of the players we've named are from recent history, the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. And it does have to do with the fact that the results for the club throughout the first a long time weren't great, or we don't have like perfect records of them, or it's hard to even parcel through who was the most important players in those times. Again, unless it was Paulinho Alcantara or Josep Samitier, where they were just leagues beyond, or just, they were the stars of the time, it's hard to really figure out. Again, they also played in different formations, right? You read Inverting the Pyramid. I mean, pretty much everyone was a forward, but most forwards didn't even score, right? You kind of gave it to the one guy and then he put it in the net, and then we're going to reward that one guy. So going through all that, I think both the teams of those 50s, when Barcelona did rebound from the really dark eras of the 30s and the 40s with Kubala, mm-hmm. I didn't have the other Hungarians here because, again, longevity mattered to me, so mm-hmm. I didn't put Kusits in there either. But the goalkeeper, Antonio Ramayets, belongs on that list. Mm-hmm. And then the captain of those teams, Juan Segarra, also has to be on the list. As I said, Carlos Puyol, he ran because Segarra kind of got into a jog in the 50s as far as setting the precedent as what a good Barcelona captain can be. And then Juan Gamper, even as a player, by the way, goes in as well. He was the first good player that they had, and he was their best player in the first like two seasons. And then it already was changed. And then the final two names I have here is Joaquim Rife and Saji Barba. Now, Barba was a player that played in the 20s and was a major player for a team that could have just closed its doors. And if people go back to the YouTube video I did a few months ago now about Catalan footballing history, there is this revolving door with all of these clubs locally that it didn't have to be FC Barcelona, right? It could have been Espanyol. If more good players played for Espanyol, it would have been Espanyol who were the team in Barcelona. Or it could have been Hispania AC, a team that folded in 1910 or 19, whatever it was, 1906. Watch the video. But it didn't have to be Barcelona. Like FC Barcelona didn't have to be the one that raise their head above. Athletic Club, kind of out of the gate, were going to be the club in the Basque region. Real Sociedad was always number two behind. And then the rest, all Real Union, like all of those just kind of fell behind. So I do want to somehow find a way, and there should be more old names on this list as well. You look at the Baseball Hall of Fame here in the U.S., while it was broken now, mm-hmm. like early on, they tried to honor those players that contributed greatly. Numbers may not be there. So again, Barba only had 64 goals in 204 matches as a striker. But I am weighing his contributions more based on that era. Just saying, I mean, again, he was one of the first stars of the club at the time. And then, I mean, he's the one who helped, even at that time, helping secure stadiums. Because they weren't stadiums, but like helping secure grounds to play on. Like literally grass fields with the city. Like, and say, hey, can we play there? And they're like, all right, well, we got this I mean, a lot of times it was polo, right? We have polo going on. So we're gonna have to bump you to the mud field in the back. And so that's where the club was. And that's where a lot of football clubs were. And we're talking 110, 100 years ago. So those two I do add. And then the final thing I'll hand to you. I mean, is there anybody, I think we talked pretty much about everybody, but is there anybody you think I missed? And then part two of that is there anybody who's currently playing in the team, even a Marc-Andre ter Stegen, that you're already going to say, hey, we should prepare for that ceremony?
I think that maybe ter Stegen is like the only one you could start to think about. I think it's going to be controversial, though, because, you know, obviously he won the Champions League with Barcelona, and he's been the goalkeeper for so many years.
It's eight years. Like, when we talk about longevity, like, 8 years already. He's basically been the starter. Like,
but I think it's going to – the trajectory of his career is the thing that's going to hold people back. Because if he had played 7 years and then in the eighth year won the Champions League, that would, I think, kind of give kind of his story a better arc than winning the Champions League in the first season and then not doing it again. I mean, maybe – we don't know if he will or won't. But I think if he does win it again, then – the conversation would completely change. So we can't, obviously we don't know, but that's maybe one of the players we haven't talked about that would maybe most have a chance outside of, you know, obviously like Gavi has a chance, but we're projecting out 10 years that who knows what will happen, but there's certainly quite a few young players where you could imagine Gavi, Pedri, Fati, Balde, like any of them could, in theory, become one of these legends, but we just don't know because it's so early.
Yeah.
So when you look at only like players who are above a certain age, where you could say maybe in a few years, as opposed to 10 or 15 years, I think ter Stegen is the only one you could think of that way. But I think it would take him winning the Champions League again to kind of change people's minds on him to the point
I agree.
That they would say, okay, he deserves it more than Zubi, for example. Like if we're saying no to Zubi, then you got to, you know, you really gotta, it's not just did you have a good career or not, but it's like a level beyond. And then I think Keeney, did we talk about him?
So there is like that next group. There's Kluivert, there's David Villa, there's Keeney. But for Keeney, he's a Sporting Heat home player. He's not a Barcelona player. Like that goes back to the whole idea that you were talking about. And, you know, I don't think he was there long enough. And, you know, I do want to, as I've said many times, I do want to dive into the kidnapping incident and same thing with Maradona. Like, if Maradona does not get tackled the way he does in that Copa del Rey final against Athletic Club, his career at Barcelona and his career in general is like even better. But that, like, that just, it all went sideways from that point. And there are these like little moments that happen. I mean, being kidnapped is a huge moment. Like getting maimed on the field by Athletic Club, also a huge moment. But yeah, Keeney, like I had to draw the line there as well. He just wasn't longevity. He just wasn't there long enough.
Yeah, I Villa is another player, but I mean, I think definitely you would rank Pedro ahead of Villa because he's just had more time at the club. I think Villa is definitely the better player overall, but Pedro is ahead of him if you're talking purely like contributions to the club. And also Villa, you know, like we were talking about whether he's identified with Barcelona, to a large extent he is, but he played such a long time with like Valencia and different Spanish clubs. And I think people, when they think about Villa, their first thought is going to be that he had an incredible World Cup in 2010 when Spain won it for the first time.
Yeah,
that's the first thing that comes to mind. And then you think, well, okay, he also had like success with Barcelona in the Champions League, and he also played with so many different Spanish teams. Or if you're a Fox Soccer commentator, you know him as the New York City FC player.
Right. Well, I mean, he was there as long as he was at these other stops. It's almost the same thing with Fernando Torres, that Torres was with Atletico Madrid, he was with Liverpool, Chelsea, he won't be retired there, but like these other places that he was, and when we think of Fernando Torres, we try to put him in a jersey, even for him, for Spain. Like, I don't know what jersey you ever put him in.
I think that it definitely matters what team you started with. So
Atletico Madrid would be the Fernando Torres.
Exactly. And Pedro, because he came, I mean, he was born in the Canary Islands, but he came to Barcelona, to the B team, I think. First, I can't remember if it was
when he was 17 he came from
came at a very early age and before debuting and in the top league. So that makes a big difference in how you're identified. So I think that definitely impacts how we look at like Villa, for example, because he came up I think in Gijón and went through different stages of his career and only came to Barcelona when he was like a fully formed kind of star, he's just not strongly identified the same way than when you come to the club and you're, you know, you're a youngster looking to debut in the first team for the very first time anywhere. So
yeah, and you actually brought up a really interesting thing about like best player in an era, like, because again, Neymar wasn't he was a third option in that attacking core. Mm-hmm. And so being the best player on your team in certain era is like a really interesting idea that I think about, because like you could argue that Eloy Martinez for a few seasons was the best player. Johan Niskins was the second best player behind Cruyff mm-hmm. in that era. Ferenc Plotko back in the late 20s was the goalkeeper, and he saved a lot of points for Barcelona then. Mm-hmm. You reward him for that. And then even the likes of Basora, like you argue, like, I mean, there was, what would they have been without him? And so that's why, like, I did reward Rife here, because I didn't really get the argument for him, but he played for the club from 63 to 76, 290 appearances, 300 unofficial, more than that, only had 23 goals, but like, he was kind of the bread and butter. Like, he's what made them tick. But then if I have Rife there, the argument for Jose Ramon Alexanco is really interesting, because he was the captain at the time, but he's also the one that fell out with Nunez, and he's in that era is not oddly or not fondly remembered, because arguably their best player was Bernd Schuster. You mm-hmm. want to talk about Barcelona Real Madrid. That's another example right. of a Real Madrid guy who I no way for Bernd Schuster. I didn't even put him in the top 50 again. So it's interesting that for Rife, not in my top 50 players of all time Barcelona players, but he's in the top 30 for me of having his name retired, his jersey retired, because of his contributions to the club. I think, again, two different things, two different thought experiments, but I think we've exhausted it. I don't know who's with us anymore, Luis, but I think we've done it.
I think there's one name you could mention, but it's not a yes for me, but it's like an honorable mention, is Rafa Márquez. He was in the poll. Sure. He got a good amount of votes. I think you couldn't put him ahead of several people we've mentioned, but I think, you know, well, I was trying to be cruel by like saying no to certain players. I think it's fine to, we can mention as many honorable mentions as you want to, because they're technically no. So people can't say we're being soft either. So I will mention him.
Right. Gary Lineker, Mark Hughes. Like we can throw out those, but again, that's all about longevity. So again, longevity is kind of where I think my criteria started and stopped. So Luis, you did it. We gotta have you on more because, you know, you haven't been since 2018, and that was just sometimes I get lost on the shuffle with different names and invites right. and things like that. But I did give you 4 years to prepare for this one. So I promise the next time you're on, it's going to be a lot easier of a topic. But until that time, again, you're more known even for your writing. So Barcelona Granas, I guess the question I would say, people know to find you there, but what is your, not to say assignment, but you seem to have a lot more of the hypotheticals and thought experiments and things mm-hmm. like that. So what kind of influences your writing for Barcelona Granas?
What influences me is just, I try to look at, you know, to take a little bit of time away from kind of day-to-day results and transfer rumors, which I'm all for talking about that. I like talking about transfer rumors. I think that's fun and everything. But every now and again, want to look at the weird side or the unusual things that maybe other people aren't talking about and trying to bring them up. And, you know, talk about the history of the club is great. I think there are a lot of Barcelona fans, especially English speaking, who are on the internet, who started following the club either Ronaldinho era or starting with the Messi era. And talking about some of these young, older generations, I think is pretty cool. You know, I started watching when I was in the when it was the 90s. So I like talking about the 90s teams, even though some of them weren't great. it's good to talk about them. And then when we talk, you know, further into history, it's so different and it's so fun. I don't know if you saw the Twitter thread that was going around about the 1930 World Cup, but mm-hmm. it was crazy. And just like we were talking about some of these players who played, they played pretty much on the grounds that they could. And they, you know, there were no substitutes up until, I forget which year, you couldn't substitute players. And then eventually, like, we went to, okay, you can substitute if you have an injury. Okay, you have 3 substitutes. Oh, now you can have 5 substitutes. And it's just so interesting. I just like looking at it from a different perspective every now and again, because it brings us to these kind of discussions, which, you know, you don't usually have and you don't usually see it. It's a good thing to highlight.
Yeah, as people know, I might have mentioned before, I also work with, and I play some Ultimate Frisbee on the side. And so I do broadcast for a professional Ultimate Frisbee team here in the U.S., which people don't even know that that's a sport or that it exists. But in that work, when we go to stadiums and things like that, the stadiums have gotten better. And the league's 11 years old now, or 12 years old now. And from back in the beginnings, like we were not even a high school. We were at middle school. We were anywhere we could be. And I mean, we were just trying to get things on the air, like so that people could view or find the footage or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now we got a broadcasting deal and we're doing bigger things, but still there's still there's professionalism to it. But most of those athletes, very much like even like the feminine, you want to talk about like recent professionalism. Mm-hmm. All of our athletes are professional ultimate players, but they're all things on the side. Like that is not their day job. Like their day job is their day job, software engineers or whatever, teachers. And then they also professional ultimate players on weekends, but they travel, they get on planes and they have full schedules and there's a championship weekend and it's right. A whole thing. There's money behind it, but not that much. Right. So it's like, it's interesting to me that I'm maybe, who knows, 100 years from now, I'll go in as a pioneer of broadcasting for Ultimate Frisbee. But yeah, the last thing I'll say about Pedri, then we'll wrap this one up, is that Pedri right now is at 63 appearances. So by next season, he will likely hit the 100 appearance mark.
Wow.
And he will be 21 years old at that time.
Wow.
So I just want to, there's this caveat where let's revisit Pedri or even Gabi as well, who's almost to 50 already. So we'll revisit this one in like 3 years. And I can tell you that on this trajectory, especially if they do a little bit of winning, Pedri and Gabi are already going to be there because they're already going to hit 200 appearances.
Yeah.
In three or four, like by the age of 23, 24,
yeah,
they will already hit 200 appearances. So, and again, reminder, Pedro, who we were arguing about, was at 204. So I don't know what you do with that. You just
gotta accept it. I mean, I think that if you were to bet on it, you would definitely bet on these young players gonna be at least one of them, maybe two, three, four, are gonna be club legends. I just don't, I don't like counting the eggs before they're hatched kind of thing.
No.
Because you never know. Maybe if we had been talking about this at some point, we'd be talking about how Boyan would be a club legend or whatever. And it didn't happen. A lot of things can go wrong in ways you don't expect. But as far as like being on the trajectory, I mean, they're certainly on that trajectory.
Well, yeah, I mean, Boyan, though, he made over 100 appearances for the club, but only scored even 26 official goals. And in the case of Pedri, again, he in a matter of 17 games will pass Thierry Henry for Barcelona appearances. Like that's how quick it happens. So it's like, right. And you kind of don't think about it, but like Pedri, by putting in three or four seasons, Pedri will have already had the longevity of like not half our list, but a bunch of our lists in, 2 or 3 years. And so I already have Pedri as number 75 on my top 75 because his contributions and appearances already to the club are already a top 75 player, which is just, and I also judge that on the fact that to me, he has been one of Barcelona's two or three best players for the last two seasons.
Yeah. I mean, the key difference between him and Boyan is Boyan was a prospect who was doing well, but was always considered a prospect who in some later portion is going to become world-class maybe. Whereas Pedri is today, right now, already.
Yep, woke up.
Yeah.
He's there. He's there already. So.
Right. There was never a time where, I mean, Boyan made it into the Spanish national team, but he was never like one of the stars of the team in a World Cup. Like that never happened. Nope. So obviously he's past that point already. But, I was just highlighting a player who perhaps at some point people thought he was kind of a sure thing, or at the very least that he would keep improving every year. And that just doesn't happen. You might think that, because you're 18, you're going to be better at 19, you're going to be better at 20 and keep improving until you're 27. But it doesn't always happen. We'll see. But I think for sure we're talking about somebody who's done a lot already. And so it's just a matter of, even if he kept his current level, we could probably talk about him as a club legend. So,
well, in 15 years, I'm excited to talk to you again in 15 years about Pedri, Gabi, Balde, Ansu Fati, and definitely some others by that time. So, again, Luis, follow him, Barça Blaugranas, on Twitter, down in the show notes below. Click on his name, and that'll get you done and dusted over on Twitter, so you're following him and not missing anything over there. So we're also on Twitter and Instagram, at the Barcelona Pod, HiltonD13 for me. Close Facebook group, the Barcelona Podcast, Answer the Question I'll Let You In. Patreon is out, and I'm also announcing this now because I'm pushing myself to do it. But there's a Discord that is beginning tomorrow. the Barcelona podcast. We're going to be on Discord now to have conversations about all that stuff. So it's going to be a bit like the Facebook group, but it's going to be a bit more coordinated as far as, you know, the Facebook algorithm. You can't really trust it. So it gives you stuff from 3-4 days ago. And that's the most recent thing. So it, as far as feed wise, so it's going to be a little more targeted. Patreon, you're going to have a little bit better access to me as well if you're a patron. So, and I also want to again thank friends at Siempre Positivo for kind of urging me in that direction as well and helping me with that. So we're also on YouTube, by the way, as well, where a lot of the history and a lot of precedent that I set here, you can find that with a playlist and really just nerd out and have fun here before the Barcelona action gets started in a month's time. So anyway, that was Luis. This is Dan. Most importantly, no, thanks for listening to the Barcelona podcast. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Forza Barca.
All right. Thank you.